Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. So glad you're here. Larry Kreider here. And with me in the studio today is Tom Burnett and Dave Smith. We're going to talk about change, succession. You guys have been through it, what that looks like. So welcome to the podcast. Welcome back, both of you.
Yeah, as you
were before.
Thank you.
And so good to have you back. So I think Tom will probably start with you today. Okay. And let me say it this way. How did the two of you meet, and how do you know each other? Let's start with you, Tom, and then we're going to hear your side of the story. Then we'll hear Dave's side of the story, see if they match.
Yeah. The test of friendship. So we met, I don't even know how long ago, it was probably 20 years, at a kind of a welcome to Pennsylvania party.
Okay.
Dave had come up, Dave and Alyssa came up, invited by some friends to consider moving to Pennsylvania, and so it was kind of a welcome party, and we were there, and I don't remember exactly what you said to me, but we talked about coming to Dove Elizabethtown, where I was pastoring, and
right.
He offered all this help to me, and I thought, wow, pretty forward, but that'd be neat if it worked out, and so we kind of hit it off right
That's
then.
That's great. Yeah. So what do you remember, Dave?
Yeah, I was a young buck at the time, eager to try to get into ministry. And I remember meeting him for the first time, and he said he was a pastor. And I thought, well, you know, I can worship lead, and I can preach, and I can do this and that. And
yeah.
I remember Tom just saying, why don't you just focus on coming first?
That's what he said. So you guys know each other how many years? You have any idea?
20 years?
Wow.
Just about
okay. Something like that.
Well, let's walk through the process a bit about how with the two of you, as you built this relationship, what that looked like, and then we'll talk about actual succession, transition. And,
sure.
And this is so important because so many people are going through change today and going through transition. Mm-hmm. It's really important that we know how to walk through this in a way that's honorable, and you guys have done a fantastic job on this. So talk to me. Give me some just background over the last years as to areas of leadership you've been involved in and then how you kind of came together.
I mean, I was pastoring Dove Elizabethtown at that time for about 10 years.
You were a missionary first, right?
I was a missionary in Spain for 12 years.
Okay.
Led YWAM base, yep. Did a number of other school leadership and things like that. Moved back here and got involved in Dove and then began pastoring at Dove Elizabethtown. 1994.
Yep, I remember well.
And when Dave came to E-Town, which we were very glad Dave and Alyssa decided to come to Elizabethtown, we took him up on his offer to start helping with worship.
Great.
I remember how soon it was before you started preaching, but they were just a great addition to the church family and really enjoyed the friendship. We hit it off, our two families, and enjoyed that time. He mentored my son for a bit.
Oh, that's great.
And so, yeah, it was a great fit.
Yeah.
Dave, give us your side of the story.
Yeah. I'm from California originally, and I met my wife doing missions in Australia with YWAM.
Wow.
And we moved back to the States and got married, thinking we were going to go back to that area, and God had other plans. So we ended up moving up to Pennsylvania. We had never heard of Dove. I'm sorry, Larry. At that point, we hadn't heard of Dove.
Most people have never heard of that, but that's fine.
But we fell in love quite soon after we started attending Dove Elizabethtown.
Sure.
And Tom and Nancy really became spiritual parents to us, to Alyssa and I. And we stayed there for, I think, about almost 8 years before we went back onto the mission field in 2016.
And where did you go?
We went to New Zealand.
Okay. And that's with YWAM again?
With YWAM, yes.
And so you were still, quote-unquote, a member of Dove Elizabethtown. You were a missionary sent out from Dove Elizabethtown.
Correct. Is that correct? Yeah, sent out.
Uh-huh. Yep. Okay, great. So any other background that we should be aware of here? What kind of things did you each experience that brought you to the point of course, you, Tom, you and I have been very close for many years and prayed a lot and talked a lot about future succession. Mm-hmm. And so talk more about that whole process and how that happened.
I mean, Dave and I stayed in touch, obviously, because they were sent out from Elizabethtown. Mm-hmm. We had about monthly contact, just catching up, you know, how they're doing, things like that.
Yeah.
But we noticed probably in about 2016, Nancy and I, we were into our 60s. We knew that we needed to be thinking about the future, the next generation for the church, and what our lives would look like. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of started a process. We just began to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Lord, what would you have for Dove Elizabethtown? What would you have for us?
Right.
Who could take our place? And the interesting thing was the only names that ever came up consistently over the next years were Dave and Alyssa Smith.
Really?
But they were missionaries in New Zealand, so how was that going to work?
Right, right. Tell us your side of the story on that, Dave.
Yeah. God was not speaking the same thing to us at that time.
Right, exactly.
We had moved to New Zealand and got to the point where we were very much leading in our ways over there with YWAM. At the time that Tom initially contacted us about mm-hmm. the job potential, we were leading a YWAM base in Tauranga, New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
We went through a strange period of time the year preceding Tom talking to us about Dove Elizabethtown, where we got 5 different offers for churches or YWAM ministries. We kept looking
in
at
New
it.
Zealand?
In New Zealand, yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And Alyssa and I kept looking at each other saying, like, what are you doing, God? And every time we prayed, he said a very clear no. So we knew he had something in store for us, but we weren't quite sure what. Yep.
Yeah. And we knew. In one of our conversations, it was probably 2020, 2021, Dave just happened to drop that he wasn't sure if they were going to stay in New Zealand. They were just wondering what God had for the future.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, well, God, you're answering our prayers. We have a plan that hopefully this will work out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So were there any guidelines you put in place for this to be a successful succession? Of course, it was. Looking back now over a year, I would say it was a very successful succession transition. Were there any guidelines that, Tom, from your perspective, that you put in place or the team that you work with?
I mean, kind of the process we went through was you and I talked mm-hmm. Over the course of a number of years, just, you know, what do we do about transition? Where mm-hmm. are we going? And I always mentioned to you, Dave and Alyssa, possibly coming. And so then you began to help us. Steve got involved in the mm-hmm. process.
Steve Prokopchak.
Mm-hmm. And he was a member of Dove Elizabethtown as well as being involved with Dove International. And so you guys kind of guided us through. You gave us a book called Next.
Was that helpful?
That was extremely helpful by William Vanderbloom. And we gave a copy to our elders, asked them to read certain parts of the book. Nancy and I read it. And then we began to talk with the elders that we think our time, we need to be thinking about the future of Dove Elizabethtown.
Yep.
And so we just began to pray together what might happen. We didn't necessarily talk about Dave and Alyssa at that moment. Mm-hmm. That came a little bit later. But so we read the book, kind of laid out a timeline. You guys helped us work out what's kind of a plan that we should walk through for succession.
I remember we also talked about then your future, too, because you already were serving on a Latin American council,
right.
You know, working with Dove churches throughout Latin America. In fact, I was leading that for a while, and you were assisting me, and then you began to lead that.
Right.
That was all part of the same process. What would you do after if this would really happen?
Right, all the puzzle pieces.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else that you recollect or remember during this whole process that was helpful for you?
Yeah. When we had come back to the States because of a funeral from New Zealand for a number of months, and Tom and Nancy were about ready to go on sabbatical at the time, and it was kind of a good confluence of events where they kind of thought in their mind with a twinkle, hey, would you guys like to look after the church while we were away just to, you know, help us out? Really, it was a trial run, I think.
it was.
And so we did get to have somewhat of an experience there of what it could be like.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it was not something that we had on our radar of possibility. However, when we did get on the plane coming from New Zealand to the United States, I remember looking at my wife and saying, for some reason, I think we're going to get a job offer. And so she just laughed, and it turned out to be true. So.
And job offer you were thinking could be giving leadership to Dove Elizabethtown.
I didn't have that necessarily on my mind, but
okay.
Yeah, so sort of the timeline of events was we as an eldership it was December, January, decided that we were going to check with Dave and Alyssa about this. We knew that they had come back to the States for the funeral, and we thought they were going to come up in April to Pennsylvania to visit. And so we thought that's an opportune time, as Dave said, to ask them, one, if they'd prayerfully consider that, two, to help out, cover things during the sabbatical while we were gone. It would help them to kind of test the waters a bit. It would help the eldership team to see how well they could work together.
Good process.
And for the congregation to kind of experience just those guys being back and being a part of the leadership process. Yeah. So God kind of put it all together.
Mm-hmm. Good. You mentioned the book Next, and just for anyone listening to the podcast today, you know, if you want more information about this, check out the show notes. Over on there, the book Next, and how you can get that through Amazon or whatever. That book has helped a lot of people. Mm-hmm. We also were going through our own succession at that point at Dove International. Right. Yeah. We're learning a lot, and we put a group of us put a lot of things together, and even some of that's available, some guidelines for succession, like PDF form or whatever. But anyway, some of that can be, those listening can help yourself to do the show notes on that. So what would you tell others in leadership who are considering succession?
I think some of it is we think of succession just in terms of the job.
Yeah.
And in this case, the ministry, what's going to happen to the church. But I think we also need to consider, what are we going to do in the future? What's the plan? Maybe it's a vocation. Maybe it's, in my case, it was semi-retirement. How would I do that? So begin to think about, you know, what does God have for you, and not just the church that you're going to be turning over to someone else. I would say prepare by reading material, studying things, talk with your overseer and other key people in your lives. Begin to think both ministry and personal. Make a timeline, make some goals for your life. We over-communicated. We needed to over-communicate with our eldership team, with our eldership team, with our congregation, because people needed to hear it quite a few times. And then to provide opportunity for feedback and just being able to sense an ownership as well in the process.
And you were obviously bringing your elders with you in this whole process.
Right.
And obviously there needed to be agreement there for this to work, and there was, by the grace of God, there was. Mm-hmm. And now what was going on in your head through all this at the same time,
Dave? Yeah, we took the opportunity seriously, but we also knew that having an established life back in a different country, we really needed to go back to pray there rather than just make a spur-of-the-moment decision.
Right.
As you know, good ideas are not necessarily God ideas, so we needed to make sure to have the calling for this job, not just, you know, the opportunity or the, you know, potential benefits of taking that job. Mm-hmm. And so we went back and we prayed actually for months, and then were able to give Tom and Nancy the answer. Yes, we would very much like to do this. Mm-hmm. But even that, still, we took a number of months to close things up properly. We feel like it's very important to make sure to go through the right process, you know, speaking to our fellow leaders there. Mm-hmm. We had a young family, so making sure they could finish the school year out talk with them and whatnot and stuff too. So preparing ourselves not just for the job, but also too for the move was a big thing for us.
Amazing thing to me was, you know, kind of being the outside looking in to be one of the persons who helped you walk through some of this process, was how that the church got so behind you know, your decision, Tom, for you and Nancy to say it's time for us to move on to other things. And then, you know, for you, Dave, and Alyssa, and your family, to give leadership. They're so behind all that. And to me, that was a phenomenal blessing. And, you know, the church has grown since that. And, you know, many times, a lot of people leave when there's transitions. And God, by his grace, has been so good to you guys, good to the church there. Anything else you want to say about that before I get into some other questions?
We gave, we had almost a year from, a little over a year from the time that Dave and Alyssa said yes, that they would accept the challenge of pastoring the church. So that helped us as a leadership team to come up with a plan how to present it to the congregation.
Good.
We did that. We shared the fact that we were going to be moving into a new season, and that Dave and Alyssa would be, had prayerfully considered this. And what made it easier was they were kind of a son and daughter of the house. They were part of us. People knew them, trusted them. And then we had time for feedback. We said to the church, you know, we took, I think, 6 weeks and said, would you please give us feedback, negative, positive, whatever you want to say to us, share with me, share with any of the elders, but we want to hear from you. And that was an important time. And we didn't hear a single negative feedback. It was all so positive. Amazing. They were so happy that not only for us, but also that somebody that they knew and trusted would be coming back to take leadership.
Now, the other unique thing that happened with the two of you as I watched this from the outside looking in was, you know, Dave, you were a missionary, you and your family from Dovetown, obviously supported by many people outside Dovetown, but you, that was your home church and they sent you out.
Yeah.
And you, Tom, you know, you were serving in Latin America already, you're living here, but overseeing leaders in Latin America and overseeing the team there. And so you kind of did a swap.
Yeah.
Really, talk to us about that.
Yeah. Before I say that, one other thing I wanted to mention that was important for us, we were going to lead together for about 4 months before the actual transition took place. And we budgeted for that. And that I would advise
people.
That's good. Please budget for the transition because it costs more than you might think. And for us, it was two salaries at the same time for 4 months.
Yep.
And so that helped. After that, we turned things over. We honored one another. We had a celebration for Nancy and I after 30 years of pastoring Dovey.
Yep.
Dave was very honoring. Dave and Alyssa were very honoring of that. And then we honored them in front of the congregation,
beautiful,
expressing confidence, a sense that God was in this. We pointed out specific things to kind of just feed the fact or reinforce the fact God's been in this whole process. And we just pointed out one thing after another, just confirmed what was happening.
How did you feel, Dave, and what was going on inside you as you walked through this whole process?
Yeah, I think as a successee or whatever the term would be for the person coming into the job, there's always the nerves that you have. You know, how am I going to fit into this role that this person has been in for, you know, at that time, I think 30 years, right? And so I remember even 1 week we came up and we held our shoes up together and I said, you know, these are my shoes. They don't fit Tom. His shoes don't fit me.
Right.
So we have to do it in a different way.
Good
However, we both very much emphasized a culture of honor. We wanted to honor them for what they had laid, and they wanted to honor us for what
you
God would be
well.
Bringing into here. And so it was just very important to communicate often from the front of the church together. That showed there was a unity in this decision and in what we felt like was meaning to go forward here. So.
And there are many who would say that when you're a senior pastor of a church, especially 30 years, that when you go through a succession, transition, and somebody else leads, that you should find another church. It's just not going to work to stay there.
Right.
Talk to us about that. How's it work for you, Dave, having Tom still there?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing they did with wisdom was they decided to take about three months. After the succession to go and be away, intentionally not be there. And in some ways, for Alyssa and I, we were like, oh, mom and dad are gone. Like, what are we going to do here in the house? But it was actually such a blessing for most of us and many of us because it showed the physical example of transition of leadership. And so, yeah, it was really good for people to not have to run to Tom for every problem that might occur.
Yeah.
And coming back, Tom and Nancy have been so releasing and so empowering.
Yeah.
And that's such a unique trait, I think, for people. So it wouldn't work for every couple, I think, to stay on to the church that they've left or had succeeded from. But in this case, it's been a really beautiful thing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're family, you know, and if we can see it as family, you know, you don't kick out your grandparents. You
that's
know?
Right, that's right.
You're still family. They just have a different role
than
they had in the past. Anything else you'd offer on this, Tom?
I think it was a smooth transition. People really have not come to us with issues. They've gone to Dave and Alyssa. They recognize that change in leadership and responsibility. And yet there's a sense that we're together as a church family. And so we still honor one another, involve the church in many different things. But Dave and Alyssa have just done an amazing job. Yeah. It was just such a God thing.
What are some pitfalls that you would say, here are some things to avoid? Someone's asking you about their own situation they're in. I mean, this is happening all over the world now, I mean, especially in America with the baby boomer generation, you know, and turning things over to the next generation. Of course, Laverne and I have walked through this with Meryl Streep Shank on, you know, another level, and it's been a great blessing for us too and for them. And we feel very, very blessed. But there's, I mean, the next book has a lot of stories where it did not work well and why it didn't work well. So what are some pitfalls to avoid?
I think some of it is One thing that I would have changed would have been maybe to start to communicate a little more with the church ahead of time, mm-hmm. not necessarily mm-hmm. that who's going to do this or
right.
even giving dates, but just saying, hey, we've sensed the Lord is going to, there's a change coming. It's a new generation of leadership that needs to be raised up. Pray with us about that. We could have communicated that a little bit more. There was some surprise when we finally announced Nancy and I are going to be retiring from pastoring and there'd be mm-hmm. new leadership coming in. So that would be one thing. I think another thing was we didn't recognize the signs in our own lives that God was preparing us for a new season. I attended a workshop with Keith Yoder, and he had 14 different markers that kind of indicate when it's time for leadership to move on, to transition. And you can provide this with the resources in the podcast. But for us, it was, we were kind of feeling a physical, emotional, spiritual fatigue. The passion was fading. I was getting more interested in the things in South America and being drawn to that. And the church was, in a sense, not getting all my energy. Right. Some of it was age, some of it was just the cloud was moving on.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Dave? Anything else you'd say?
Yeah, I don't know about this situation of pitfalls, but I have seen quite a bit of succession in my different years of ministry, especially right. overseas. And the thing that I think was very specific in this situation that I thought, oh, this is how I'm always going to be doing this or recommending to do this was to be very specific and over-communicate, like Tom said, to have a plan so that both of you can fall back on it if something goes awry. It just provides a safety net for the congregation and for the leaders themselves to know what to expect. Mm-hmm. You know, when we don't know what to expect, it can lead to misunderstandings, and then that could lead to hurt. And so I've seen a lot of that, unfortunately. And this process was so helpful in avoiding those things.
You say the word process. So much of this is down to the process.
Yes.
Really, it really is. Yeah. And by the way, you know, those questions you talked about, we'll make sure those are on the show notes, if anybody is interested in that. Anything else, Tom or Dave, that you'd like to share with our listeners about succession that could help them? There's a huge deal. And also, Dave, and you've gone through, and there's been another succession that's happened for you.
Yes.
You know, Tom, as you would know well, you've been mm-hmm. involved in this. Another member of your church, who is an International Apostolic Council member, Steve Prokopchak, Steve and Mary, and he for years was leading the Caribbean area of, you know, the Devon International family, mm-hmm. the islands there. And God sovereignly had called you, Dave, to take that because you're used to the islands. You live in New Zealand, you know. But anything else you'd want to say or anything else you'd want to share, either of you?
I would just encourage people, get others involved in the process.
Good.
We had you, Larry, as our overseer. Steve was a part of the church and was mm-hmm. walking with you through your succession
yes, he
as
was.
Well as mm-hmm. he'd done it with others. So involve others. Both within the church and outside the church, communicate with your eldership team, plan for it, study it, do the research needed so that it's a smooth transition. And we laid out a timeline and a specific plan, shared that with the congregation. So they had the sense, we know where we're going, we know what the next steps are, we have some markers to indicate when that's going to happen.
Yep.
And that was very helpful, I think, to bring a sense of security to people.
Okay, good. Dave, how about you? Anything you would add?
Yeah, you brought up a point earlier, Larry, and you said it's family. Mm. And I think a lot of church movements have been based around, you know, a single person, potentially their charisma or whatnot. But, you know, I think our goal and the goal of the early church that Jesus established was to create a family. A family of members and a family of churches.
Right,
and
good.
So something that happens in my family and other families is usually we take our time in mm-hmm. doing things
yeah.
to make sure that they're done well and they're done well with the right process. Mm-hmm. And so even in coming in, succeeding Tom in the church, we very deliberately did not make many changes the first year.
That's good.
Because we wanted people to get used to us and mm-hmm. our leadership style, not the changes that we were bringing.
That's very good.
And so, so it's just the mindset, you know, change of I'm not coming in to do things my way, but we're coming in to do things as a family here at the church.
Good. Anything else that either of you have to offer?
In our situation, because Dave and Alyssa were moving back to the U.S., mm-hmm. they didn't have a car, didn't have a house, didn't have anything.
Yeah.
We were able to kind of delegate to the congregation, ask Beautiful. People to help find furniture, mm-hmm. find housing, all that thing. It gave them a sense of ownership. It gave them a sense that we're involved in helping. And they just went over and above.
They got involved in the process with
you. They got involved in the process as well, serving practically to these guys. And I think that was a very positive thing that took place.
Yeah. I think it was Oswald Chambers or something to the effect of, you know, often we're trying to get to a certain goal, but from Christ's perspective, you know, the real goal is the process itself.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I think you talked a lot about process. And families, we do processing because how people feel is important.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, it's important because how they feel. So if we can process through these things and people don't feel like someone's hiding something from me, because we're not, it makes succession worthwhile and makes it much, much, much better.
Yes.
Something we often say in this podcast is that we try doing this podcast is just we try to just find just little things that we can change, and one little thing will make all the difference. You know, we change if we really apply that to our lives. And I think there's things you shared today, just some little truths that are powerful. And for others who are looking at succession for the future. Well, thank you for being on the podcast today. I'll give you one more chance. If there's anything else, like, I missed something I wanted to say, here's your chance to say it.
I just appreciate the invitation to be in here and share what God's done. And
yeah,
we just stand back and just marvel. It's God's church,
yes.
And we were part of it and just very privileged and just very proud of Dave and Alyssa and how they've stepped into the role and proud of the church, how they've responded. And it's been amazing to watch God in the process.
Good.
Yeah.
Dave, anything else?
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you to you, Larry, and you, Tom, and your generation for just making a way for the next generation. Like you said, we wanted this to continue for generations.
Yes.
And so, just by being able to release what you've created or what you've poured yourself into is a very big honor for my generation and those below us here. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks to both of you. Thanks for being on the Larry Crider Leadership Podcast. And again, everyone listening today, you want more inside information, you can check out the show notes. You can get that on the show notes. And may God bless you and give all of you who go through succession, all of us go through transitions in some way. Mm-hmm. You go through change in some way. May the Lord give each of you much grace and the right process to walk through this transition for the glory of God.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you for being on the podcast today. And again, check out the show notes, and we'll look forward to seeing you again real soon.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrider.com.